Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we took a detour last week. Anybody who comes to my Wednesday night Bible studies, our Wednesday night Bible studies, know about the peer detours. Amen? So last week we took a detour because God said so. So I don't apologize for it. If God said so, that's what we do. Amen? And so this week we're going to finish up what we started 2 weeks ago, and it was the worthy is the Lamb. Can you say that with me? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And I'm going to find it here. This does not want to help me find it. So I'll find it. 1 second here. Should have found it before. You know, you should get on the stick and do things before. Correct? And everybody said, you're right, Pastor. I don't know why you mess around. Okay, so I'll find it. Don't worry. Of course, I can do it by heart, but rather than do it by heart and keep you here till 2 o'clock this afternoon, maybe I will find it here. We're in the book of Revelation. Oh, man. I don't know what happened here. I had it. Don't get old. Do not get old. You will not like it. You will not like it. There. I got there. Oh man, worthy is the Lamb, part 2. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Amen? Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold a door standing open in heaven. The first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. Father, thank you for your word. We honor Jesus this morning. We lift up his name. We glorify him. With the angels in glory right now, we lift our hearts to you and we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. In Jesus' name. In the 4th chapter of John, we see a door that is opened in heaven. And chapter 4, of course, comes before chapter 5 as a brief summary of what we went through 2 Sundays ago. And we see something very interesting happening in heaven. We see the throne room. We see the 24 elders around the throne. We see the angels worshiping the cherubims and the seraphims. And we see God the Father sitting on the throne, and in his right hand is a book. More like a scroll, but we understand it as a book. And it is sealed so that it cannot be opened. And there's a search going on in heaven. There are angels running around trying to find somebody that is worthy to open that book. Let's read it in chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with 7 seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals? No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book, the scroll, and to look into it. I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and to look into it. One of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. Can you say amen? He said, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nations, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, and saying with a loud voice," say it with me, "'Worthy is the Lamb.'" Say it again. "'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne, glory to God, and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." The theme is the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings this morning, and he's the Lord of Lords. Can you say amen? He's our Redeemer, he's our Savior, and he's our soon coming bridegroom. Glory be to God. Every word, the very word, Revelation, that this book is named after, the word Revelation means an unveiling. It comes from the Greek word that we get our word apocalypse from. In fact, in Spanish, the book is called Apocalipsis, or the Apocalypse. And I believe that the main verse of this entire book is found in the first chapter, the 19th verse. And this is what it says: "Write therefore the things that you have seen," past, "those that are," present, "and those that are to take place after this," future. Now, 2 weeks ago, we examined the first three impacting things of this scene in heaven. Three things that were amazing, spectacular, that happened in heaven. First of all, there was a catastrophe. There was a catastrophe. Something needed to be opened, and no one was found worthy. And that was a catastrophe. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll. It occurs to me that out of all the great universities of the entire world, out of all the great industry that has produced the great scientists, that have produced the great educators, and have produced men and women who have changed the world and have touched this world, they have yet to produce someone worthy to open this book. In fact, David was there, but he wasn't worthy. Moses was there, but he wasn't worthy. Elijah was there, but he wasn't worthy. All the great heroes of the Old Testament were there, but they were not worthy. Civilization ignores and puts down the Word of God. But let me state emphatically this morning, there is nothing safe outside of the Word of God. We violate the Word of God, and we violate its guidelines to our own risk. And then number two, there was not only catastrophe in heaven, but there was celebration. Jesus stepped forward. He takes the book from God the Father, and the entire host of heaven erupts Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. By your blood you ransomed people to God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Not only was there catastrophe and celebration, but there was capability. Jesus was found capable. Let me assure you this morning, he is capable this morning. He was capable when he came. He will be capable when he comes again. We serve a capable God. In fact, there is nothing outside of his capability. Do you believe it this morning? Nothing outside of his capability. Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scrolls and its seven seals. He came as and to be a lamb the first time, but now he's a lion. Glory be to God. Now let's look at the last three. Number four, class. There's class in heaven. Look at how great this class is. Then I turned, verse 12, chapter 1, to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man. See, John knew him when he walked in shoe leather and sandals here on the shores of Galilee, and he sees him and he says, I recognize him. That looks like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. But John had never seen him glorified like he is now. Glory be to God. Hairs of his head were white like wool, white wool like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, his refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in its full strength. See, John sees Jesus in the midst, hear me, in the middle of it all. He's in the middle of it all today. Can you say amen? He's in the middle of it all in glory. He's in the middle of it all. He's the head of the class. He's the class of heaven. He's the center of it all. Everything revolves around him. Someone asked me the other day, I take it you don't believe in global warming. And I says, no, I don't. It's a hoax. It's a farce. It's a lie. It's a heresy. And they said, well, just calm down. Just calm down. I believe in global warming. I say, you what? I said, and this person was a Christian. I said, you don't know what the Word of God says? By him were all things created, and in him do all things exist. He's the center of it all. He controls it all. Nothing can happen outside of his purview. There is nothing in the Word of God that talks about the destruction of this earth until it's all been done. Amen? Until it's all over with. The millennial reign of Christ is over with. The judgments are over with. The hell, the lake of fire has been opened. It's over with. Everything is opened, and then there's destruction. And then there's a new earth and a new heaven. But until then, he is in the center of it all. Glory be to God. Now, why is John just seeing this now? Question comes to me this morning. Why is he just seeing it now? He walked with him for 3.5 years. See, he probably missed this just like we miss it. We get called up with everything going and happening on the right, what's going on the left, and we miss what's right in the middle of it all. See? We, right before our eyes, things are happening and we realize that we missed it. I realized just this week that it's so easy to miss Jesus with all that's going on in Washington and Albany across the river, financially and socially, and with all the crime and all the disturbances that exist. I realize we get so caught up with all that is going on that we fail to realize Jesus is in the middle of it all. He's a class act, glory be to God. He's not subject to my description or yours. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent this morning. Don't ever forget it. This world may look like it's spiraling down to hell. Doesn't it look like that? Amen? It looks like it's out of control. But let me tell you, God is in control. He reigns supreme. He is still Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Hallelujah. It may look like sin's in control. It may look like everything we're doing is in vain. It may look like we cry out to God and we wonder where in the world He is in all this mess. But I tell you where He is. He's right in the middle of it all. Glory to God. Amen. He's still in control. He's still in charge. He knows when to jerk the devil's chain and to get him back in line. He still knows how to do everything. Glory be to God. I believe He's right here in the midst of His church in upstate New York. Amen? And I don't care what Albany does. He's in the middle of it all. Amen? Glory to God. Number five, choice. In the middle of this all, in the middle of it all, you and I have a choice. It's not just the catastrophe. It's not just the celebration. It's not just the claim and the class and the capability. But there's also the choice. Why Jesus? Why was the choice of heaven Jesus? No one was found worthy. Then I looked, John said, and I saw one like the Son of Man standing in the midst of it all. And He stepped forward because He was heaven's choice. See? His prerogative was to take the book. Why? Why Him and not Moses? Why Him and not Elijah? Why Him and not Abraham, the father of it all? Why Him and not David? Because He's worthy and no one else is. David with his glorified body was not worthy. Abraham with his glorified body was not worthy. Elijah with his glorified body was not worthy. He was worthy because He had been slain and He had risen from the dead and He was God's choice. Glory be to God. Why? Number one, He was God's choice because of creation. Worthy are You, O Lord and God. Verse 11. Chapter 4, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things. Turn to somebody and say, all. All things, and by Your will they existed. By Your will they existed and were created. It is still by the will of God that everything exists that exists. In the middle of all this praise that's going on in heaven, John tells us exactly why Jesus is worthy. This same John wrote some 60 years previously. In the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All, I love this global warming verse. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Are you hearing me this morning? Who's He talking about? He's talking about the Lamb. Glory to God. Colossians 1:16 says, for by Him, global warming, by Him, all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions. Hear us, devil, this morning, whether thrones or dominions, whether principalities or powers, rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. Glory be to God. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. When it seems like your life is spiraling out of control, when it seems like everything is messed up and nothing's going right, remember, it is God holding everything in its place. Glory be to God. And I can rest assured this morning, and I can have peace in my heart. He is in control. In him are all things held together. What a comfort to know this. To know this morning that the creator of the universe is yours and he's mine. Glory be to God. He's on my side and he's for me. Hallelujah. And he knows just what to do, and he always does it just at the right time.
Amen.
I want it now. Amen. My wife's got an electric tea kettle. I want a cup of tea. I fill it with water. I push it down, and in 3 or 4 minutes, the water's boiling, and I get to have my cup of tea now. And we want everything now. But it's in him that all things exist. It's not according to my timetable. It's not according to my criteria. It's not according to my understanding or my intelligence. It's according to him. And if I rest in that, I'll have less stress and more peace. Amen? Number two, conquest. He is the choice of heaven because of creation. He's the choice of heaven because of conquest. One of the elders, verse 5, chapter 5, said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, glory be to God, the Root of David has conquered." Turn to somebody and say, "He conquered." Glory be to God. So that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. Jesus has conquered. What? Everything. Say it with me. Everything. He even conquered death. Death was the last enemy to be conquered. So if the last enemy has been conquered, it is intelligent and logical to assume that all other enemies have been conquered as well. Glory be to God. I don't have anything coming at me this coming week that he has not conquered. Are you hearing me? I have nothing that I will face that he has not conquered. And if he's conquered it, he knows exactly what I need to do in order for me to conquer it as well. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This tells me that he had to have something to conquer over. Are you hearing me? Something to win over. A conquest to finish. Now, way back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you among all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" Now, I want you to notice something with me this morning. My salvation, your salvation. My conquest, your conquest. My triumph, your triumph. Has been guaranteed by one that all Satan could do was bruise his heel. He couldn't even bite it. He couldn't even break it. All he could do was bruise it. Glory be to God. But God stepped on his head, and it was his head that he took care of. I can kick you in the heel and it won't hurt you, but I hit you in the head and you know you've been hit.
Oh, yeah.
We need to understand this morning who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. We belong to the one that kicked his head. Hallelujah. When all he could do was bruise his heel. I love the way the Word of God puts it. Bruise. Bruise isn't even an open wound. Anybody been bruised here? It might turn red or it might turn purple. If it gets infected, it turns green. But it never gets infected because the skin's not broken. The devil in all his power that he thinks he has this morning, all he can do is go around bruising me. But I can stand on his neck this morning and kick him in the teeth because I have won and you have won through Jesus Christ our Lord. He conquered. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Here is where the devil's obituary is written. On his forehead. Are you hearing me? The devil's obituary is not written on a tomb somewhere. It's written on his forehead. Glory be to God. And in that obituary is recorded my hope, your hope. Hallelujah, I might preach this morning. My victory and your victory. It's right there. Long before we were told that he will be thrown into the lake of fire. Long before Jesus ascends to a cross and cries out, "It's finished," and thereby takes his step off the cross spiritually, descends into hell, and leads captivity captive free, glory be to God. Long before that happened, his obituary had already been chiseled in his forehead, glory be to God. Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. The Lamb of God has conquered the devil. And with the devil, he's conquered every enemy we have. Colossians 2:15, you need to memorize this. You need to write it on your mirror. It needs to be the first thing you see in the morning. He disarmed the rulers and authority and put them to open shame, triumphing over them in him. Glory be to God. See, Paul is referring to you have to get this morning. Paul is referring to an ancient ritual by conquering kings. When a king was conquered, when an enemy kingdom was conquered, they would go through a three-step process in the ancient world amongst the tribes that governed Europe and the world. Number one, they would strip the conquering one naked. Are you hearing me? Because for you to be naked was the biggest shame on planet Earth. That's why Jesus was crucified naked. See? The word disarmed means undress. It means strip. What the winning king would do to the vanquished king, he would strip him of all his ribbons, first of all. All those things he hung on his chest to indicate his power and glory, he would strip them. God walked up to Satan when he descended off the cross and went into hell before he ascended to heaven. He walked up to him and he stripped the metal off his chest that brought sin into the world when Adam gave in to his temptation. He took the stripped off him, all those metals that he claimed were great when he caused Israel's idolatry to bring about the judgment of God on Israel. He stripped them all. He took every single one of them. All his medals of conquest he strips off. And then you know what he does? He pins them on his own robe. Glory to God! Do you get it this morning? He not only took all the power away from Satan, but he gave it to you and I. Glory be to God. See? His ribbons of fear. Hello? His ribbons of disease. His ribbons of intimidation. All his awards, every honor that he thinks and perceives that he has received, all the things that we, hear me, might have given him because we don't follow the word of God, and he takes them from us and we think we've lost. Listen to me. At Calvary, those were stripped off of Satan and he gave them back to you and me. Glory be to God. I went to the devil's camp, we sing about it, and took back what he took from me. I took back what he took from me. I took back what he took from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Are you hearing me? Amen. Number two, he would shame him. That's what the nudity did. It shamed him. He would tie him, hear me, to the wheel of a chariot of the conquering king. Not any chariot, the chariot of the conquering king. And he would drag him through the streets of the city for the gathering crowd to see in open shame. I'm telling you right now, if you could only see the heavenlies, God is dragging Satan all over the place. Amen? And we seem to think that he's in control. He's not in control. He's been dragged and he will continue to be dragged because Jesus is in control. Number three, he was triumphed over. This means that he would be subdued. After having been dragged through the streets, naked and open shame, after having been stripped of all that made him famous, he would be dragged to the center of the city, and then the conquering king would get out of his chariot, and he would walk back to where he was, and he would put his foot on his neck as he lay in the street and raise his hands in victory, and the crowd would applaud and cry out to the conquering king. That's why I raise my hands when I worship the Lord. I got my foot on the neck of the devil. I got my hands in the air and I'm praising God forever and ever. Let me proclaim this morning, this is exactly what Jesus Christ has done. And to top it all off, he still has his foot on the neck of the devil. I believe that he looks at you and he looks at me and he calls us over. And he says, come here. Come here, Peter. Come here, Paul. Come here, Maureen. Come here, Debbie. I want you to come over. Put your foot right where mine is. I don't just put my foot on his neck. I got mad at him this week. I walked into my bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I said, you foul devil. Glory to God! I got you! You're defeated! You don't belong here! Glory to God! Hallelujah! We need to stop believing what he says about us and believe what God says about us. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God! I got my foot on his neck. I got up this morning, my foot was on his neck. I got in my car to come to church, his foot was on my neck. I ran across the river to pick up James, my foot was on his neck. I sang in worship, my foot was on his neck. Hallelujah. And I'm preaching this morning with my foot on his neck. Glory be to God. This is the word of God this morning. Don't you ever think that the devil can get anything over on you. Let me say it again. Don't you ever think that the devil can get anything over on you. You are a child of God. 1 John 4:4, little children. Yeah, I'm a little one, God. Yes, I am. Might be old, but I'm a little child. See, that's why I can be 7 years old this morning. Little children, you are from God. Yeah, you got to read that with me. Little children, out loud, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Amen.
Greater. Greater. Praise him this morning. I know what he can do this morning. He has conquered the devil. He has conquered sin. For as by one man's disobedience, I read it this morning and I shouted, the many were made sinners. So by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. He has conquered Satan. He has conquered sin. He has conquered sickness. When Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. Glory be to God. He meant it is finished. Everything is done. He was talking about all that is associated with sin and the fall. Salvation's plan was all complete. It was sinner. He fulfilled Isaiah 53. Right there, he picked up the telescope of time And he looked through the lens of that telescope of inspiration. And he penned these words in verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Listen to me this morning. You may have some grief and sorrows. I don't doubt it. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that has brought us peace, and by and with his wounds we are healed this morning. And then the last one is number 6, worship. I couldn't find a C. I had all C's, but I couldn't find a C that would elevate worship. I already had used celebration. I couldn't use that again. So I just said, forget it. Worship. Amen? Last thing we need to examine is thrilling worship. Not just worship, but thrilling worship. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scrolls, the 4 living creatures stood to their feet, and the 24 elders fell down on their face before the Lamb, each holding a harp and the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And read this out loud with me this morning, please. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you have ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. Glory be to God. Amen. Let me help you with this. They shall reign, not just in the future, but they shall reign now. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at verse 12. Put verse 12 up, Emmanuel, saying with a loud voice, say it with me, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, would you lift a hand to heaven this morning and say, worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Listen to me, you say that this week when things get tough. Lift your hand to heaven and say, worthy are you, Jesus. And watch things change immediately in your circumstance. Because you can't praise him. You can't exalt him without him getting down off the throne and descending to earth. Hallelujah. And invading your circumstance and making a difference. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To him who sits on the throne. Verse 13. To him who sits on the throne. Say it with me. And to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Glory be to God. He's mighty this morning. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. He's mighty. Glory be to God. He's all powerful. Bless his holy name forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, Jesus is not, hear me, unaccustomed to worship. Worship is not strange to Jesus. Our worship is never going to catch him unawares. Are you hearing me? In fact, he relishes. The Bible says he lives in it. He loves it. Glory be to God. Our worship will never catch Jesus unawares. I have been in churches that when worship broke out, there were people sitting in the pew, and by their expression, you could read it on their face. What in the world is going on? Have you ever been there? I have, many times. And they were saying, what in the world? But Jesus has never considered my worship and your worship what in the world. Are you hearing me? See, Jesus knows worship. He knows when it's real and he knows when it's not. He knows when it's genuine and he knows when it's for show. Are you hearing me? He knows when it's just lip service to go along with the crowd. And he knows when it comes from the heart. Jesus is an authority on worship. This lamb that we're talking about was worshiped before he ever got to Bethlehem. Are you hearing me? The angels, before they ever announced in that course of glory and that choir from heaven, he had already been worshiped with shouts and singing on high. Hallelujah. When they proclaimed peace and goodwill towards men, he had already been worshiped. Hallelujah. He was worshiped before the foundations of the earth. Job 38, 4 through 7 says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me. If you have understanding, Job, who determined its measurements, surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Surely you know, Job. Or what was its base? Or where? What were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? Come on, tell me, Job, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." You weren't there, Job. I was. I know what worship's all about. I've been there. Hallelujah. That's worship. Before the star ever appeared in the east, and those kings started their journey to Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Before, I really doubt, they didn't have a clue about the impact of what was going to take place within 2 years. They didn't have a clue. He was already accustomed to worship. Before the shepherds fell down and worshiped him, he was already accustomed. He rode into Jerusalem. Next Sunday we'll celebrate it on a donkey. And he was drawing near already on the way down from the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. But he already had been praised since the beginning of time, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he said, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Hallelujah. I'm not going to give a stone a chance this morning. I'm not going to give a tree a chance this morning. I'm going to praise. I'm going to worship his name, because great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Amen. See, the Pharisees did not want worship. They wanted to silence anybody who was worshiping. And I've been in churches that looked as though they were Pharisees. And they wanted to silence all the worshiping and praising. And if we worshiped and praised them, they thought something was wrong. I was in a church once where a lady got blessed and she said, "Glory to God!" And this other lady's turned around and looked. Something happened to her. She, a spring broke out there. She sprung a leak. Yeah. I've decided to keep the rocks from crying out. Anybody want to join me this morning? I've decided to keep the rocks silent. Glory be to God. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise his name. You see, I've examined this all carefully. Jesus did not say that he would command or force the rocks to cry out. He didn't even say that he would ask them in a petition to cry out. No, no, no. He's saying that when the vocal cords of human beings become stale and silent, Mother Nature is going to pick up where they left off. Glory be to God. And it's going to praise and worship the God of glory.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If you don't praise and worship him, yeah. If I don't praise and worship him, yeah. If God looks all over New York State and around the world and can't find one solitary soul that will worship him, I have no doubt that this pulpit at which I'm standing behind will break out in glorious praise before God. And the pews we're sitting on will lift their sides in glory to God. And they will praise the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of this world. We got a pile of rocks out there. I'm not going to let them say anything. They're not going to get up and dance in the Holy Ghost because I'm going to. Glory be to God. They're not going to do anything because I'm going to do it this morning. He is worthy. Hallelujah. There may be some here this morning that the circumstances of life and your trials have stifled your praise and stifled your worship. Listen. Glory to God. He He's the Lamb of God this morning. And He's worthy of all praise. I will worship and I will praise Him in spite of the catastrophe that is collected around me. I'm going to praise and I'm going to worship Him in celebration for who He is and what He has done. I'm going to praise and worship Him for He is capable and powerful for every need I have. And for salvation, I'm going to praise and worship Him for the choice that heaven made. He is the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Creation worships Him, and I'm the top of His creation, and I'm going to worship Him this morning. I will praise and worship Him. I will learn this because this is my strength. I will learn this because this is my joy. I will learn this because He has been worshipped since the beginning of time. I'm not going to be left behind this morning. Hallelujah! He was worshipped as a boy when the kings came from the east. He was worshipped when He rode on a donkey into Jerusalem, and glory be to God, He has yet to be worshipped like He's going to be worshipped around the throne. I'm going to be there. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for that day. Jesus is coming again.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. When we get there in verse chapter 4 verse 1, we're going to see chapter 5 happen. Four beasts representing all created animals of all time, and 24 elders representing 12 from the Old Testament and 12 from the New. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Glory be to God. Would you stand to your feet? Would you lift a hand to heaven? Would you say, "Worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord." We proclaim from the depths of our heart, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God this morning. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God this morning." We join with the seraphims and the cherubims. We join with the angels in glory this morning, and we say, we worship and we praise and we adore and we thank you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. My soul doth magnify your name. My heart worships your glory this morning. We praise and we glorify you. Lord, take every circumstance, bring it under the control of the glory and the power that is your name as we worship and lift you up. Make a difference in every heart and life, we pray in Jesus' name and for your glory. Most of all, let us show that glory. Let us exhibit that glory to everyone we meet this week, that someone may meet you and know you, whom to know is everlasting life, that we will be able to compart with them and to give them what you have given us in the name of Jesus. For this we glorify and we thank you this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen and amen. God richly bless you. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can shout if you want, and that will keep the stones from shouting.